should always be fun. Should make you happy.
What's going on, guys? You are now listening to the Lean Dad Podcast for dads who want to lose weight and become a healthy role model for their kids. I'm your host, Patrick Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be here. Now, let's dive in, my friends. So this episode's going to run a little bit differently, and for good reason. This is a fun one. I brought my fiance, Megan, to the podcast today. She's going to be sharing some personal experience relative to some stuff that she had been dealing with that's not directly tied to the whole weight loss type of paradigm most people are used to when it comes to their diet and it affecting their weight. This episode is primarily geared towards her sharing her experience, and I'll preface, she's working towards becoming a registered dietitian here at the end of 2022, so she knows her stuff. So this is a really, really helpful episode in providing some deeper context for those that may be dealing with some sort of a food intolerance or food allergy without actually knowing it. So I would encourage you to include a friend, a family member, a loved one in on this episode, as it may be quite helpful. So tune in, listen in, have a good time. If you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on Instagram. That's @aware_lifeabq. Shoot me a message there if you've got some questions, as well as please, please, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. So let's dive in, my friends. Welcome, 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 friends, family, and loved ones to another episode of the Lean Dad Podcast. So today's episode is going to operate and run a little bit differently, but keep in mind, I, and by extension, my fiance Megan here, she's joining me. We always have your best interest at heart when it comes to your health. So one thing that's going to be a lot of fun in utilizing this medium and this platform and the podcast is, much like I've touched on and will continue to touch on in the future, is just really, really, really helping plant seeds of intrigue and help broaden y'all's horizons when it comes to health, when it comes to thinking about your health and your well-being. And it's very easy to just let that fall within the scope of purely just exercise and purely just your nutrition. But part of today's episode is going to be dedicated towards just sharing some of our own personal experiences, primarily in this case, Megan's personal experience. And I'll spend a little bit of time introducing her and kind of providing some deeper understanding as to her role in my life, as well as her role and intention behind Aware Online Coaching in the near future, but provide some of our own experiences in that we are both health professionals in the industry. Obviously, I've been doing personal training for about a decade now, and Megan's actually in the process of becoming a registered dietitian. So she's got just about 9 more months until she can take it's your licensure exam, right?
Yeah, the RD exam.
Okay. So she's got about 9 more months. She just got accepted into UNM's dietetic internship program there at the University of New Mexico. And that's pretty much the internship that every single registered dietitian has to complete, or aspiring dietitian has to complete before becoming an actual registered dietitian. So what I'm getting at is my fiance / i.e. my future wife is the real deal. And she's gonna be joining me for total world health domination when it comes to just providing as much helpful information around nutrition and exercise and lifestyle related information as humanly possible. So with that being said, we kind of are our own kind of professional filters, in that we tend to view life through a much different lens of focus. Obviously, a lot of mine is, at least initially, was very exercise oriented and focused, and that bled into the nutrition aspect of things. It's bled into the mental aspect of things, as well as many other things that are in the pipeline. And the same can be said for Megan in her pursuit of becoming a registered dietitian, in that to a certain extent, we're going to have some personal experiences that we're going to be open to, not all, but a handful of personal experiences that we're likely going to be open to sharing with our community as a means of just trying to help and try to provide more helpful contextual information and understanding as to how, or say, some of the things that we've experienced can be utilized and implemented in each of your lives, those of you that are listening here. So what the primary intention behind today's podcast is geared towards is, obviously, and babe, don't hesitate to chime in at any point here. This was a really unique experience, and it still is a very unique and I still choose to view it as a fun experience and some of the stuff that you've been going through. But a lot of people just consistently focus on this kind of one-way road, one-way kind of highway of, okay, what you eat being solely tied to your weight loss. And sure, this is what bothers me about the world that we live in. It can be very one-dimensional, and there's deeper, multifaceted conversations that are not being had in order to give people maybe an easier entry point into just being more mindful of their eating without it always having to be solely tied to weight loss 100% of the time, because I feel like it could almost perpetuate a really unhealthy relationship for people around their eating when all they know is that it's solely tied to what weight they are. And that's obviously not the case. And you know far more than I do when it comes to the nutrition side of things. But we wanted to share something that Megan and I had been working through. Well, Megan initially, and obviously I've been doing everything I can to help support that over the past, would you say it's been like 8 months or so?
For what?
For primarily your diet and your skincare routine.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on my routine and with my diet as well as my skincare, which is something completely new to me. 8 months ago, it seemed like something that I would never be able to conquer, never understand. And then I took a deep dive into my diet to see how that was truly affecting other areas of my body. One being my skin, another being my digestion. And once I started looking deeper and with like a finer tooth comb, I guess we'll say, I was able to realize that certain aspects of my diet, things that I was eating, was causing a lot of inflammation in my body and a lot of pain, which also affected my mental health around those things. So yeah, over the last 8 months, it's been a trial and error, but I'm at a much better place.
Cool. So to provide some deeper context behind this, this pretty much dates back to around Thanksgiving of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you just start from there?
Yeah. So as we all do during the holidays, we eat a lot more food just in general, and foods that aren't necessarily the best for us, desserts, extra servings, foods that we normally don't eat on a daily basis, at least for me. And a lot of the foods that I was eating were very heavily based with dairy. Cheesecake, you know, just cheeses, any milk in baked goods, stuff like that. And that was all during the holidays. And then right after the holidays, I have my birthday in January, same deal. Cheesecake, all of that. And then right after that, we had a friend that graciously offered us a free HelloFresh box. And what I didn't realize with those meals from HelloFresh is that they have a lot of dairy in them, in the sauces, and they tell you to cook in butter with everything. And I understand that for taste, but for me, it was just the icing on the cake as far as my skin was concerned and my digestion was concerned. So I started to not feel so hot for probably about a month. I was really struggling after all of that. Before things started to settle down, I was breaking out all over my face, and on my shoulders, on my back. It was probably the worst it's ever been. Like, I've suffered from adult acne and acne my entire life. It's something that I never thought would just go away. I thought it just was something that I had and that I could never, you know, figure out a solution to. And so I really thought about it, and what was different about that situation. It was me eating a lot of dairy and foods that I don't normally eat. So I took about a month to really dial back on the dairy, dial back on gluten. I basically did a modified Whole30 diet. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's an elimination diet. That diet actually wasn't designed for weight loss. It was designed to help you identify foods that are inflammatory to you specifically. So I did a modified version of that. And slowly over the past 8 months, I've been adding back foods here and there to see what my sensitivities are. And I've found that primarily it's dairy, a little bit with gluten, sugary foods, if I eat them in large amounts, can do it too. And Patrick and I have gone out to eat a few times. I think that's been the hardest part about learning about all of this, is really conveying to your server and the people working in the kitchen that I'll tell them I have a dairy allergy, so they take it seriously, and that they're not accidentally putting butter or anything like that in my food, because it is so common when you eat out. I don't even think most people would realize how much dairy they're actually consuming from restaurants. But here recently, Patrick and I were in Las Vegas, and we went out to eat at an Indian restaurant. I told the server that I had a dairy allergy. I think there was a little bit of miscommunication around our order, and our food ended up having dairy in it. And not even 24 hours later, my whole left side of my face was broken out. But had I not gone back and done the elimination diet, I wouldn't have known what had caused that. I wouldn't be able to modify in situations like that. And I would honestly probably get more frustrated because I wouldn't know where it was coming from.
Right. And just to provide some, obviously, I feel like when we dive down the rabbit hole a little bit, like we're doing here, is just to provide some deeper understanding for those of you listening. If this doesn't mean dairy is inherently bad for everybody.
No.
So I think if there's one of many messages that we're wanting to convey through this podcast, is we're not big on either or. We're big on and or both. So we're just sharing a little bit of Megan's experience, just to kind of plant some seeds of just allowing you all to take a deeper look at just what you're consuming and how it's affecting your overall well-being.
And Megan's
Yeah, you know, you've never had a weight problem.
No.
You know what I mean? But this is a different dimension of your health, to where your skin has been something that you had an issue with for your entire life, and that obviously can weigh on you, and that weighs on your mental state of being, which can then manifest itself in how you carry yourself out physically, and in impacting your energy, stuff of that sort. So I think it's just really important here to make sure everybody has a clear understanding that you don't need to, because a lot of people can go down this rabbit hole of feeling like, oh, okay, well, I heard this, so then I need to cut dairy out to lose weight. And it's like, well, that's not really what we're going for here. It's just paying closer attention to the foods that you're consuming being more conscious of the foods that you're consuming and just paying attention to how they affect these many different layers and dimensions of your well-being. Yeah, your energy. Sure, if you've got a weight loss portion of things, that's something to pay attention to as well. But I think the skincare, the skin health is a huge piece as well that I never thought about, because I can, for the most part, I can consume dairy without having much of an issue. I don't have any issues to where when I consume dairy, I break out in acne. I haven't dealt with bad acne since I was going through puberty, really. So it has been a really interesting experience to where I've grown more, you know, in this particular instance, I think it's kind of funny where experience is kind of the best teacher, where I think a lot of people will look at stuff that's quote unquote gluten-free or dairy-free and think it's just like this new hipster trend, where now having you in my life and seeing that these things are a little bit of an issue for you as far as having dairy and gluten intolerances because of your skin, you're having an inflammatory response. It actually prompts me to be way more considerate and respectful and sensitive of those dietary options being available, instead of feeling like what was being used and what was available at the time, you know, in the past, stuff of that sort, as far as foods being, or just having nothing, a large amount of people's diets being dairy, and that just being kind of the standard norm in our country for millennia, forever, and just thinking that, well, this is how it's always been, this is how it's just always needs to be. And adopting more of an open mindset and acknowledging, yeah, things are going to evolve. And even though I don't think I'll cut dairy out completely, I've also noticed I'm not consuming it nearly as frequently, because you and I live under the same roof, and we work together really hard in making adjustments to make sure everybody's needs are met. I've noticed benefits in not consuming, say, as much dairy, you know, and getting a better understanding through your journey in realizing that I don't necessarily have intolerances per se, but I have to be very cognizant of like my saturated fat intake, and dairy is typically pretty high in that. And it's not like I deal with acne issues, but it's more digestive stuff where I get gassy, all that, just stuff that you think is just part of your normal existence and that you just kind of have to put up with forever. Like you were talking about when it came to your skincare piece and dealing with acne and feeling like, well, this is just how it is. This is how my life's going to be. And just planting seeds with this particular episode, planting seeds with people, and that if there's stuff going on with your body, whether it's acne or you're dealing with digestive issues, et cetera, not feeling like you've just got to live with that forever, and using it as an opportunity to maybe investigate a little bit further, to make some adjustments to your eating in some way, shape, or form, to just make the day run more smoothly, and make it a more enjoyable experience, as opposed to feeling like, well, I've got to live every day of my life having acne or having severe digestive issues or pain, stuff of that sort.
Right. And that was going to be when you were talking about making it known to people that we're not advocating for don't eat dairy. My message with it primarily is, yes, it's more of just pay attention to your body and what's going on. I feel fortunate after going through this experience and figuring out what my body needs, that my body manifested this inflammation on my skin. Mm-hmm. I was able to see it. I was able to be aware that it was there. Whenever you think about there, maybe some people may have intolerances to food that have symptoms that are like bloating or gas, for example, that could be due to like so many other things. And so it just makes me think like what other foods are contributing to my discomfort. and really taking the time to take an inventory of the foods that we're eating and paying attention to our body. It's like, okay, this food makes me bloat. This food makes me gassy. This food makes me break out. There's so many layers to it that we have that we can pay attention to. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I couldn't agree with you more, because I think a lot of us get, understandably so, a lot of us get really caught up in our day to day, and things can become, or we can fall into this state of almost this rushed state of being, to where we're just trying to get through the day and do what we can, and we're not nearly as conscious of what we are putting in our body and what kind of an effect that is having on our body. So we're just having this rushed state of existence. And next thing you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years has gone by, and you've been having skin issues or digestive issues or inflammation in your joints, or, you know, for people in the weight loss area of things, weight issues that have manifested themselves slowly but surely over many, many years. And just trying to plant seeds with everybody listening, just to take a little bit more of a compassionate inventory of what's going into your body, and just trying to pay a little bit closer attention to how you're feeling and how you're performing, and in this case, how your skin is looking, and seeing that as maybe an opportunity to investigate a little bit further. But in your case, babe, I really liked how you provided a little bit of context behind like the whole 30. And obviously I've been in the industry for a while, and it's very fascinating. I'm putting that kindly. It's very fascinating to see how stuff that has one particular purpose that's not rooted in weight loss somehow gets hijacked and marketed, so to speak, as a weight loss diet or protocol, anything of that sort. So, can you touch on that a little bit more when it came to like the whole 30 piece, just to provide, it's not that you can't use it for that, but I feel like
it's not sustainable long term, right? Just like any other fad diet, I guess you could call it, like the keto diet, same thing, was kind of hijacked. The origins of that have nothing to do with the way that it's marketed now. Whole 30 is, like I said, an elimination diet. You're basically focusing on meat, vegetables, and fruit. There's no grains, no alcohol, no dairy. It's just very specific things that you're, no legumes, like really interesting things that you wouldn't think would be on an elimination diet, but those are certain things. And working in the hospital, I actually saw some people with certain like out food allergies to legumes and stuff like that. So when I was reading through the list of things that were restricted, it made sense to me. But I think to the average person who doesn't have a background in nutrition, they're like, why is this restricted?
Right. And now having the experience in supporting you through this wing and this segment of your journey, I even get a better understanding of, say, like with something like Whole30, it makes sense why it's built that way, to where you don't have alcohol, you don't have grains, you don't have these types of foods that are likely going to have, people are going to have some sort of an allergic reaction to.
Or if you have some kind of IBS, or so irritable bowel syndrome, right, irritable bowel disease, those kinds of foods can cause gas. Those are known to cause bloating and gas.
And I think what can end up perpetuating a lot of people's confusion whenever they use something like this for weight loss is, because I'm not going to lie to you, sure, you cut certain large food groups out, like you maybe would with a Whole 30, you're likely going to lose some amount of weight. But
especially
it's,
if you're still working out normally, not drinking alcohol, like it's going to happen that you're going to lose a little bit of weight.
Well, but it's also kind of thinking about it through that lens of most people that might be utilizing or leveraging a diet like that, they start utilizing it with this foundation of eating, right? This foundation of eating that might be rooted in they're eating out much more frequently. They're eating more processed foods at home, stuff of that sort. And then they pretty much implement a 180 flip in jumping on something like, we'll just stick on Whole30 in this particular instance. They jump on something like that, that has very rigid parameters to where the foods that are quote unquote acceptable in that protocol are more whole foods. So you're making a very seismic shift into, yes, improving the quality of the foods that you're consuming, but as a result of you consuming higher quality food items, you're also, because it's always going to continue to fall into creating some sort of a caloric deficit when it comes to losing weight. So as a result of improving the quality of your food, you're also consuming a lower number of calories. So then people will lose weight on this particular protocol, and they will think it's exactly because they cut out the eating out, they cut out the processed foods. It falls into this very black or white dynamic where it can kind of muddy the waters to an extent, where they do this diet, they lose weight, they think it was solely because of this diet that they lost weight, where there's so much deeper nuance as to why they actually lost the weight. Whenever you take the time to look at how and what they were eating prior and then what they're doing currently with, say, the Whole 30, and it almost perpetuates their own state of confusion whenever they can't sustain it. Because think, like, if you don't have issues with dairy, you're going into this diet protocol when it's actually not even meant for you. Right. So it would make perfect sense why people would get confused over that, because realistically, how likely is it going to be that you're going to be not consuming alcohol long term, especially if you don't have an allergy to it?
And just socially, doing a Whole30 diet is really difficult.
Right.
You're not going to be able to go out to restaurants and find anything to eat other than a salad, likely. If you go over to a friend's house and you don't bring your own food, probably won't be able to have anything to eat. You're not drinking if other people socially are drinking. So it makes it really, really difficult
I think you're putting it nicely as saying difficult. You're making it's impossible. And I say that coming from a space where I did all natural bodybuilding for close to 3 years, in that I was on a very strict diet. So I know what it's like when people go into a really strict diet protocol and they think that that's what they need in order to lose weight. And it's actually adding more stress to your life than taking it away and making it easier to navigate these social circles or these social experiences of being out to eat. Because I lived that for 3 years where I literally had to have my food planned ahead. And I was bringing food to restaurants to go hang out with friends. And I'm happy I had the experience. There was still a lot of positive that I drew from it, and learning how to plan my food ahead of time and prep food and all that kind of stuff. But I can see how it can really make things very, very confusing and frustrating for people, because they're jumping into a diet protocol that's actually not meant for weight loss at all, but it's now, it gets hijacked and marketed as that because it promotes a quick fix for people. And a lot of people jump into that, but then they get spat out on the other end because they couldn't sustain it. And they end up regaining the weight they lost and then some, because there's no foundational understanding of how to better manage when you go out and eat over the holiday weekend, or when you go out on vacation and are going to be eating out more frequently. There's not a deeper rooted understanding of how to actually balance these elements of life that are always going to be around. So, but yeah, your experience has been, it's been fun. It's had its trials and tribulations, but it hasn't been miserable by any stretch of the imagination. But one element that I wanted to chat about here on the podcast that I think would be really helpful for a lot of listeners is, like, none of this would be possible. You know, people think, oh, 7-8 months, that's a long time. It's It's really not in the grand scheme of things. But one element that I wanted to touch on here was how important it is to actually talk to your partner. You know, if you've got a significant other in your life and you're wanting to implement some sort of lifestyle change, it's going to be made significantly easier and more fun if you're willing and open to talking to your significant other about it. I wanted to just chat about that a little bit, because that was there was a lot of shifts that had to be taken place.
Multiple shifts. We tried multiple different meals. Patrick and I usually eat the same breakfast. We'll eat different lunches and usually eat the same dinner. That is usually how we've had it going in the past. And when I decided to make the changes, you know, I was eating a different breakfast. Patrick was eating the same breakfast that we used to eat. I was eating a different lunch and a different dinner. So our shopping was all over the place. It made meal prepping much more difficult. And it took a little bit of trial and error to get some meals down that we could both eat and actually enjoy. But as time went on and I figured out the dairy was the main culprit and gluten, it really helped us find meals that we could both share and enjoy. But yeah, not telling you about it and you not being willing to work with me would have made it impossible.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And really miserable.
Yeah. So I think it ties to a very prevalent thread, in my opinion, when it comes to any kind of journey of improved health, whether it's weight loss or in your case, better skin care and digestive health and stuff of that sort. It's always going to fall into an avenue that I think so many of us expend a lot of energy avoiding in communication. Like, it takes consistent, I would almost argue relentless amounts of communication around what worked, what didn't work, what adjustments we need to make, a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. But doing that consistently and having that put together as a solid foundation and base for yourself can make the journey much easier, instead of feeling like you're doing it all on your own. Because at the end of the day, I want you to be happy and healthy. And if I need to make a few adjustments here and there, that doesn't mean we had instances where I was just like, Jesus Christ, I'm tired of making breakfast five different ways. You know what I mean?
Like, or trying to find a restaurant.
Right. Yeah. Trying to find a restaurant, all that kind of stuff. So I want to preface, like, it hasn't been rainbows and sunshine the entire time, but, the differentiating factor has been communicating, and I've seen a significant difference in your energy as a result of this process, in that, understandably so, there's a huge level of issues that can arise through self-esteem, and that affecting your outlook on yourself and your engagement with the world day to day because of these things. So it would be rather ridiculous of me to not try and help support you in a way to alleviate those things. And I've noticed it make a significant difference in your day to day.
Yeah, I don't think I could have done it without you, that's for sure.
Yay for teamwork.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, was there anything from your perspective as we're talking on this subject, was there anything else that you thought of that might be helpful to chat about and share?
Just the main piece of paying attention to your body, how you feel, and how that correlates to what you're putting in your body. That's like the main thing, because you were just saying, like, my energy levels as well. I was extremely fatigued all the time before taking out dairy, and I think that has had a significant impact on my energy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important for everybody listening to keep in mind that it's going to tie into a very common theme in my coaching, and as you continue listening to the podcast, that this is something that takes time. This is not something that is going to, and it's not just with the how it's affecting your body through your skin, your digestion, et cetera, just weight loss in general. This is not a over the weekend thing. It's not an over a week. Sometimes it's over months, years of having experiences and just continue to try and remain conscious of what's going on. And it really allowing you this opportunity to see, oh, okay, this makes more sense now. I'm going to investigate this further through that years long experience. So continuing to give yourself try to implement some amount of patience, giving yourself grace through the process, because it hasn't been miserable, but it has been difficult at times. Like, yeah, you think about it, 8 months to a certain extent, especially when you're wanting to alleviate something that's really frustrating and that's been really difficult, it can seem like a very, very long time. So that's where trying to implement some amount of patience, and that's why leveraging support of your significant other, your friends, your family, being out in the open about what you're trying to work on can make it easier. Because that's been another step, is not only just with me, but other people we interact with. We're going camping this weekend, and we're letting my best friend know that, hey, we're fine with you prepping food ahead of time, but these are the needs that need to be met, and not being ashamed of sharing that. Because at the end of the day, if someone's gonna not respect you in trying to meet those needs and support you, then it gives you a lot of information as to what kind of quote unquote piece of support that person is. Yeah, it's all ultimately going to come down to communicating. And I would encourage, and I think we would encourage you to be out in the open about what it is you're trying to work on and get help with, and trusting that it's an extension of you, and it's an extension of really your expression of who you are. And it's going to make the process easier in surrounding yourself with people who are going to help you make sure that those needs are met, because the quality of the foods that you eat, like you were sharing here, babe, it's really important. It kind of shapes who you are. It shapes your day. It shapes the energy that you may or may not have going into the day or the week. So making sure that you've got people that are willing to support you in that is crucial. So I would say, if there's one takeaway when it comes to those that have any kind of dietary needs that are needing to be met, don't feel like you've got to stay quiet about it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, if you really think about it, that's how the gluten-free movement became a thing, because people were speaking up, speaking out. Same thing with dairy. That's why more restaurants are getting on board with vegan plates and that kind of thing. And so I think the more people that speak up, you know, when there's demand, there will be supply.
Right. Yeah. Because who wants to eat food and be in pain after eating it?
It's awful.
Yeah. So that's one element that just has never made sense to me when, you know, I think there was an instance where we had someone cater an event that I hosted that was obviously very like anti-vegetarian, and said something to the tune, because it was a barbecue event, understandably so, but just said something to the tune of like, well, just eat more vegetables. And it's like, okay. But it's like you just taking time to get to know people. So there's a reason for those that genuinely need it. There's a reason people do that, need that, is because they don't want to be in pain when they eat. And I think a lot of people can get confused and have this misconception, or hijack like dairy-free and gluten-free as like weight loss health buzzwords. And that's not why they're there at all. They're on the packaging. So someone
with an allergy,
knows, oh, I can order and I can buy that thing and I cannot be bloated and in pain and break out in terrible acne.
Or go into anaphylactic shock.
yeah, exactly. So that's just something to keep in mind. So, well, Thanks for being on, babe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story. I'm sure Megan will be on in future podcasts. I think that's kind of inevitable. I'm just gonna kind of make a brief announcement. The plan is by the time that she's done with her internship at the end of next year, so that'd be
May 2020.
22. Yeah, 2022. She's going to be coming on to work with me alongside me with For Aware Online Coaching. So that'll be really fun. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So, any final messages you want to leave our listeners?
Just pay attention to your body. Let people know what's going on.
Cool.
And live healthy.
Simple and to the point.
Yeah.
Well, right on, friends. Hope this was helpful. I hope it planted some seeds of thought relative to a new dimension in your health journey. So enjoy the day. Take care of one another. Love one another and be grateful for one another. We'll catch you on the other side. Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, if what you heard today resonates with you and you'd like to continue the conversation, then I'd be happy to personally invite you to join our private Facebook community with countless other dads like yourself who are on this journey with you. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/groups/leandadproject, click the join button at the top of the page, and you're good to go. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/leandadproject. And by the way, the link to the Facebook group is in the show notes too, so be sure to check that out. All right, my friends, that's it for today. In the meantime, love one another, take care of one another, and please, please, please be grateful for each other. Much love, my friends. Cheers.